Hello and welcome to Love Your Life Now, podcast number 31. We actually skipped a week. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it just didn't happen. But we're back today and we are going to continue relationships. So this is relationships 3. And today I'm here with my wonderful, beautiful friend and Kundalini Yoga teacher,
Christina Sargun Powers.
And it's just the two of us again today. And everyone else is off and out and doing their own thing today. And it's great. Lots of things are happening energetically everywhere. And we hope you're having a great time with that. So, continuing off of last week, this is what happened. We stopped when I was about to tell the story about the girl that I met in the desert last year at Burning Man. And strangely enough, today many people are already en route to go to Burning Man. It's coming up this coming week.
How serendipitous. That's perfect.
Right? How serendipitous. So a whole year ago, and actually I think it was to the day, because last year Burning Man was a week earlier when I was, and it was that Friday. So, wow. To the day ago, last year, I believe, and it might even be the exact number day or just Friday, there was this girl at Burning Man last year, and I believe her name was Julie, first name was Julie, and quite by coincidence, I stumbled upon this ceremony that they were going to have in this big, huge tent that they had. I forgot the name. I think it was something temple, but it wasn't the center temple. So it was one of the big camps, and a beautiful, beautiful, round, large, almost like a circus tent size, beautiful, had a huge chandelier, which I think later someone said she built or something, don't hold me to it, huge chandelier in it. And they had this crazy, elaborate wedding ceremony going on in the middle of the desert in this tent, and I was there as one of the people that just happened to be there. And it was beautiful. The bridesmaids all dressed like fairies. I mean, and she, her wedding dress, you know, huge, beautiful wedding dress. It was so beautiful and exquisite, and it was so bizarre and beautiful at the same time to know that you're sitting in this desert. Everybody's already been there for several days and is kind of dirty, and, you know, things have been messed up from the rain and from the dust and everything. But inside this temple, there was just this pristine cleanliness, and everything was just so exquisite.
That sounds like my fantasy wedding. I always wanted to get married in the desert.
Yes, this is the way to do it, I tell you. So Julie, though, her friends put together this ceremony for her and with her, and they had a lot of things to say. And then what I noticed is, oh, Julie is, in fact, marrying herself.
That was the wedding?
That was the wedding.
Whoa.
So, Julie was there and she was marrying herself, and all the bridesmaids came, and some sang and some danced and some recited poetry, and it was all about recognizing Julie as a whole person. Mm. Who does not need or require an other in order to be complete and live her life to the fullest.
Wow.
So I'm having goosebumps right now. I don't know about you.
I totally am.
And so that was just so amazing to see and sit and have demonstrated. And basically be told that, you know what, you can do that. And everything made so much sense. And actually, in the end, they invited us to each, in saying the vows, to each say them with, and to basically marry ourselves at that moment, just the same way that she was doing in the dress with the big thing over there. Because in the end, none of that matters. It's just about making that commitment to yourself. And the coolest thing about that was that in the future, she said, when you listen to a love song, how about instead of imagining you singing it to other or other singing it to you, how about your higher self singing it to you, or you're singing it to your higher self? All of a sudden, a lot of these love songs out there make completely new sense, and they are so much more nourishing than they were before. And so I've been carrying that with me through this last year, which was a very, very intense and trying and a lot of changes happening year. But I always remember that. I always would go back. Okay, I have to remember that I made this promise to myself. And now, here's the thing. If we marry ourselves and then we look at how are we treating ourselves, can we now see a relationship into what it really means that you have to love yourself first before you can have a relationship that's whole instead of one that goes up and down and left and right and all over the place?
I was vibrating that same thought. I said that's really truly what it means to love yourself first. If you can't love yourself, you can't love anybody else. The way you treat yourself is the way other people are going to treat you.
Yes.
What a brilliant notion to it's amazing,
isn't it?
And we, you know, go through our life and we meet someone else and we suddenly feel, oh, what's that classic line in some movies that you complete me? And what a bunch of hooey, what a big huge lie, because it never ever happens that way.
No,
it can't possibly happen that way. And we, you know, meet and interact. We think, oh, now I feel so happy because this other person is with me and it just makes me feel so happy. But we all know at this point in our lives, the experience that, you know, women such as ourselves have had, that never lasts. And the amount of time that it lasts is shorter and shorter and shorter until we finally get it, this concept that we're talking about today, that we are complete and whole in ourselves. Kundalini yoga talks about the same thing. You know, you are the feminine, you are the masculine. There's nothing else you need. Yogi Bhajan said it over and over and over. There's nothing else you need.
And then that voice that says, but I need other, ego. That is the ego. That is the ego. Yeah. And so as long as we have this urge, we need someone else to complete, to do this part in our life that we can't do for ourselves, or to do that part, or to, you know, be there for this or for that particular reason, that can never be the truest, most profound relationship that we can have, because it is just a filler of a whole that is inadequate from the beginning. And we are the same thing for others, oftentimes a filler of a whole that we can never even believe that we could begin to fill ever.
So that is why marriage is, they say it's the hardest yoga, is because majority of people who come together, they feel that that's the filler for the whole. And so they spend all of this time working through all of that stuff because they still don't even realize it. Well, how come it doesn't work anymore like it did in the beginning when, you know, we completed each other and we thought we were perfect and the soulmates? It's because now you've gotten to the hard stuff. You've gotten to the real stuff and you're trying to clear all that. And, you know, most marriages just can't survive that because we never from the beginning believed that we were whole and complete by ourselves coming together.
That's exactly it. So what happens is after a while of believing that we could fill the other's hole, or that the other can fill the holes that we have, we realize that it's not possible, because it isn't. So the illusions are gone, and then there's only us. And now we have to deal with, who am I? And who are you? And what are we doing here? And when we can get back to the point where we can understand that you need to marry yourself first, and then treat yourself exactly the way you would want to be treated if you are in a marriage, and then I do the same thing, then we can both be whole people who are loving with ourselves, and now we can choose to have a very different kind of relationship. And actually, Oh, funny, again, just this morning I picked up a book that my neighbor handed to me a couple of weeks ago, and it's called Coupleship. And that's exactly what it was explaining in one of the chapters about the two whole then coming together and now not having a relationship where you complete me, but a relationship where one and one is three. And that now means that both partners can go beyond, way beyond what they ever thought where they could go because they are together, instead of holding each other down because I need you to help me here and you need me to help you here, which binds us, and one plus one is one, right? Two people together, ooh, and now it's one. No, it's two people, and now it's a lot more than just the two people.
Okay, so let's look. We're getting very ethereal today. So just bring that back down to, so I can wrap my head around it. So the idea of one plus one is three, so there's me, the whole, there's the other as the whole, and we come together and make a new whole?
Yes, the third whole is the coupleship itself.
Whole complete, not whole void, but yeah, the whole completeness.
Exactly, the whole.
The coupleship is its own entity.
Exactly, yes,
and
you
different,
got it.
And different from the other two.
Exactly. That's exactly the sentence that is said. The coupleship is it's a whole entire entity where the two are in there together, but also the two are still individuals. So now there are really three things going on. And now if we want to take it really up one higher, it's the Holy Trinity really,
yeah,
is a representation of that if we understand what it actually means. That's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
That's what I want.
Yeah, and ooh, it's going even deeper.
Yeah.
You know, there is, you know, the whole idea of when you are making that union and making that whole complete coupleship, you are sincerely blending with the one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's when I'm now, as I'm seeing what I'm learning now through experience, is when it now makes sense that you would have the third one, the spirit, universe, or whatever, as the at the top, actually. It's beginning to make sense what that really means and how that's really beneficial.
But we don't have to have that in order to be complete and whole and to
no,
have a relationship with,
right,
the source, with God, with spirit.
No,
we
no.
do not have to have that coupleship.
No,
to
no,
do
not
that.
At all. Because you come with it.
Mm-hmm.
You come with it. And that's also why it doesn't matter if you have a coupleship or if you're single. See, that's the other, that is the other point to it.
Right.
Means you can have a great coupleship, but you can be, and you must be, just as content alone, because otherwise you'll just end up in another relationship.
Right, and that's the delusion, that we couldn't have that without being with another person.
Yeah. And until we cannot have it without another person, we can at least now just be clear that in that case, we can never have it with another person. We can only repeat old patterns and play out relationship things from the past. So if we want to continue to do that, fine. Personally, I'm done with that. After everything that happened and that I've learned, and then, you know, reading in the book about the coupleship concept, which is all not really new stuff, but then, you know, you have to again read. And then, you know, things are put in front of you in a way where you understand them at a new level at that moment. And I said, okay, for me, from now on, coupleship is the only thing that I will accept. Because I totally see the benefit of it, and I totally see the delusions and illusions of anything else.
And we can't possibly understand true coupleship until we felt that we are complete and whole.
Yeah. Exactly. So that again is the number one work, is not in the partner. What has the partner done wrong? You know,
or working on the marriage.
Right. Not even that. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Not even working on the marriage or working on the relationship. Working on the self.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take it to like a personal level.
Sure.
Why not?
That's
where we are.
Right.
So I am been separated from my husband since I think February of this year. And we both were very, you know, spiritual, highly spiritual. That was my, you know, main purpose in finding a mate. That's with my second marriage. So it's got to be spiritual. We got to be on the same plane. Well, that didn't even work because he's highly spiritual. I'm highly spiritual. We're, you know, in the same circles completely. But it did not keep us together. In fact, it continued. There was other stuff there. We weren't complete and whole by ourselves. So now we've been separated, and now the relationship has gotten exponentially better.
Isn't that
the
funny?
Way in which we relate to each other, the way in which we respect each other, the way in which we talk to each other. He doesn't live here. He lives in a separate house. Everything has been better than it was before. I mean, before we got married, you know, there was that, you know, falling in love thing. It's not even close. This is not even close. And so relationship is the key. I'm not looking to someone to complete me. He's not looking for anybody to complete me. We're having a different relationship with another human being.
Yes.
And we're still, I mean, he's doing a lot of work on himself, becoming mm-hmm. whole. I'm, you know, continuing to do the work, working on whatever mm-hmm. areas that are, you know, need strengthening in me.
Yeah.
And it's completely different. Now, I don't sit here and think I want to go marry this person again, and I don't think he thinks that, or it's not even a part of the equation, whether it does or does not happen. But for whatever reason, somebody who I thought, I can't stand to look at you being in the house with you. I can't stand to be in the same space with you. Once you leave, I never want to see you again. That's the thought. And once we separated, now we really relate as true human beings.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's because of all the false illusions and false expectations that we have when we get into relationship where we expect the other to fill the hole. That's why we have friends for much longer than we have sometimes close mates. Because friends, we kind of know that they have issues and we have issues and they know our issues, we know theirs, and we expect each other to help each other when we can and if we can, but we don't expect to fill each other's holes. So there is a completely different relationship going on there. And now when two people that are like that, that have realized that and that are whole on their own and have done work, now they can go together and take the relationship to that next step, which is the coupleship. And I think that's a great concept and kids should learn it in high school. I don't know, right? Because it's so easy to understand when you read it because it makes sense. And you can actually, I don't care how old you are, you have seen other adult relationships go wrong, and you will understand if someone explains it to you that way. You'll get it and you'll say, I think I'm going to be a little more conscious of how I'm going to go about this and what I'm going to expect of the person that I choose to be with. Wouldn't that be awesome?
You know, I mean, I have to just say all this grace and gratitude for where my daughter is going to school, and not like that is the place where everybody should go, but she is having this experience, and she's in the 12th grade now, and this was in 11th grade, they took a lifestyles course. Mm. It's required. It's part of the training that I took.
And let people know where your daughter's in school.
She's going to Midipidi Academy, and that's in Amritsar, India. And it's where many Kundalini yoga teachers, their children go. It's a school that Yogi Bhajan started, I believe, in the late 80s. And she's there all year, and she's already got her level 1 teacher training, and she's taking level 2 courses this year. It's a requirement. And so I'm not saying that that's where everybody should send their child off. This is where she wanted to go, and it was a part of who she was becoming. But one of the courses I know she took is a course I took as a level 1 Kundalini yoga teacher, and all Kundalini yoga teachers take this course. It's called Lifestyles, Yogic Lifestyles. And it talks about, Yogi Bhajan wrote this course called Humanology. how to be a woman, how to be a man, how to be partners, how that whole relationship thing works. And so she had her very first experience with having a boyfriend last year. And the school is very, you know, clear. We don't acknowledge boyfriend, girlfriend, but we teach them how to relate as, you know, that energy. And so she, you know, and I said, oh, I'm just surprised that this is happening, you know, that she's liking a boy, because she seemed very focused on school and athletics and everything. But, you know, naturally, 17-year-old girl, that's what's going to happen. And she, at the end of the year, she's like, oh, you know, I realized, you know, that he wasn't, you know, he was just so focused on this and that. And so I don't have those feelings anymore. And she had learned, you know, it's hard, I guess, for me to put into words, but the things that we were just talking about, what makes you whole and complete, she's learning that at 17.
Yeah.
And that she doesn't need to be a girlfriend. She goes, we can still be friends. We're friends, but you know, he's not my boyfriend. I don't need to have somebody, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, to think back of ourselves when we were 17, mm-hmm. and the whole different experience of the boyfriend, girlfriend, if we had had a course, if we had had that experience of looking at it in that way, what mm-hmm. hardships and heartaches and, you know, pains we would not have gone through.
And
I'm so grateful my daughter is experiencing that. Relationship, in that way.
She's in India, and the one thing that's here by being here, watching the media here, it's all about what we're being told, especially the younger women. It's all about who has the boyfriend, and it has to be the, I don't know, the hottest looking one, or I don't know, the football player. I don't get that part at all, because I'm from Germany. We didn't play football, but but you know, it's really, really harsh how you are being primed to learn that you are not complete unless you have XYZ, and this starts with the boyfriend and ends with the, I don't know, the BMW or whatever,
right? And they go to dances, but they don't have dates. They all go together. They all experience together. Mm-hmm. You know,
what freedom to be able to express yourself,
yeah,
without being, you know, judged by others, by how others then relate back to you. I mean, what kind of BS is that?
Yeah.
And we are actually out of time. And so therefore now, and I know prom season is already over, but we're back at this thing. So I don't know what we're going to be talking about next week. Depends on who's here. But we might pick up the prom issue, or we might talk something else about relationships. And maybe you want to send us an email. You have a question. The emails are on the podomatic.com/ Sonia Sophie page,
because it's all about loving your life now, and there is just exponential topics to talk about.
Exponential topics
to, yes, love your life right now.
Exactly. And so for today, we want to ask you to marry yourself right now in the moment. Doesn't take a lot. You can turn on a love song and sing it to yourself if you feel like it, and have a piece of chocolate. And with that, we'll talk to you again next Friday. Thanks for listening. This is Sonia Sophie and
Christina Sergun Powers.
And we want you to love your life now.